If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And I have dealt with these parables a little bit, but I'm going to start reading again at verse 1. And all right, the same day, I went Jesus out of the house. Now, when we speak of the house, dealing with the nation of Israel, we're talking about the house of Israel. So, leaving the house, he went out and sat by the sea. Now, the Gentile nations of the world are associated with the seas of this world. So, when we, in the typology of Scripture, the house refers to Israel, the sea refers to the Gentile nations of the world. So, our Lord was getting... You know, the Jews had been the custodians of the truth for, about 1,500 years. And now we're at the point where, with his crucifixion, burial, resurrection from the dead, that we're going to enter the church age. So he's speaking some parables then to the Jews. And at this point in time, you know, there were Jewish proselytes out of the nations of the world, but they were counted as being Jews because they had converted to Judaism. So it says, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him so that he went into a ship. Now the ship, you know, we use the word fellowship to speak of a church. Okay? So the ship represents the fellowship of believers during this church age, which, the word church, ekklesia, in the Greek is a called out assembly. You know, it could be an assembly for, the mayor and the, officers within the city. They have a meeting once a month. You know, that could be called an ekklesia in Greek, or an assembly. And Congress could be called an assembly, but we're referring to the Lord's ecclesia or the Lord's church. And so we're called out for the purpose of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like the scripture says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. So that no matter what your age was when you were saved, you were a child. You know, I was 21. Eric was 21. Debbie, you were 5. Aaron was 5 or 6, somewhere along in there when they trusted the Lord as their Savior. And so, children are very receptive to the truth. You know, don't lie to children. Now, we've all done the Easter Bunny thing and the Santa Claus thing. And it doesn't take kids long enough to figure that out. You know, I can remember we used to meet over, wherever we were meeting on Christmas Eve, Bill Tate would dress up as Santa Claus. And I can remember Bailey saying, I think Santa is Uncle Bill. Kids, they pick up on it pretty quickly, But the bottom line is, the world is steeped in all kinds of religious practices. And last week, I think I took you over to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And it speaks there of a sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, what is the sin which doth so easily beset us? It's a singular sin, and it's preceded by it's the sin that doth so easily beset us. And we read about it in the book of Romans from chapter 5 and verse 12 to chapter 8 and verse 3. And it's found 30 times, sir. And not once is it translated with the article or sin, but not the sin. And because it's not, the article is not translated, there's all kinds of crazy doctrines that come out of those chapters. But the sin that besets us is what the sin that beset Eve. The serpent said to Eve, Elohim, or God, in the plural form, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Elohim doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall be as Elohim. It says, God doth know in the English that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be as the gods. Well, it's plural in both places, because God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so what was it that Eve was deceived with? She was deceived with the concept of knowing the difference between right and wrong, or good and evil, that would make her like God. And contrary to God's command, he warned, the day that you eat thereof, ye shall what?
Surely.
He didn't say you might die. He said, thou shalt surely die. And she died the moment she ate of that. You say, no, she didn't. She went on and bore children and all that. No, she died spiritually. She and Adam was created in the image of God. Eve was created from a rib from Adam's side. So the first woman came from man. And subsequently, all men and women, it takes the father to impregnate the wife to produce children. And the blood that we receive because of that union all came from Adam. And so the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so our blood is corrupted by virtue of the fact that we, in Adam, all ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why people think, they'll say, that's not right. And basically their senses of morality vary as many as there are people, because there are certain things that people approve and certain things that they disapprove. And some are the same and some are different. So you probably have about as many moral systems in the world as you have people in the world. But that aside, Jesus is teaching people, Jews, who said when they were, they just come out of Egypt, and Moses went up on the mount to receive the law. And God had spoken the law to the nation of Israel before Moses went up to receive the actual tablets. And they said what? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Well, I would take the time to go back and read the 20th chapter of Exodus. But if I did that, I wouldn't have time for what I wanted to get said this morning. Okay. So you can't read that 20th chapter of Exodus without it convicting you. Yeah. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And even though we as believers are saved and indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, the law still convicts us. So the scripture teaches us that when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we died to the law. He fulfilled it for us, so we're no longer under law. We're saved by grace. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. So we have to distinguish between the teachings that Jesus gave to the Jews under the covenant of law and the teachings that we have. For example, 13 of the books of the New Testament were written by the Apostle Paul. We get basically all of the doctrine concerning the person and work of Christ from the Apostle Paul. Yeah. And he went out and established churches, and where the other apostles were dealt primarily with the Jews. So coming back to this, Jesus went out of the house. So we're leaving the house of Israel, and he sat by the sea. So these parables are going to reach into the future to the age of, the sea age of the truth. And the sea age is the present age in which we're living, in which the Gentile nations of the world have had the gospel preached to them. And for the most part, the Jews have rejected that gospel and said, we will not have this man to reign over us. So, there are, in every age, we've had both Jews and Gentiles saved. But for the most part, the Jews can't forget, we're God's chosen people. And they think they're God's chosen people because there's something special about them in terms of their morality and their, this type of thing. No, God chose the nation of Israel. He had to choose someone. And as things are set up, Christ had to be born from the nation that God chose. Okay? So the Jews were given the truth, and the gospel was given to them along with the law, because therefore by the deeds of the law, what does the scripture say? No flesh will be justified in God's sight. So when we get saved, we have no more ability to keep the law than we did before we were saved. We may not, as the scripture says, we may not run to the same excess of riot that we formerly ran to, but if we should say that we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. Now, most from these articles that I've been putting in the bulletin, talking about the sin, well, the sin was, first of all, it was Eve's sin, but Eve couldn't transfer it to anyone. So when she ate of it, then Adam ate of it, because Adam was still in the image of God. And so we would have to say that many of the attributes of God were still Adam's. And he had to know that if he didn't eat of that tree, Eve would be damned forever. And he loved her. And Eve represents the church, And Adam, when he also ate of the tree, he sinned to do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Adam gave himself for his wife, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for what we call the church, the bride of Christ, a calling out of the Gentile nations of the world, as well as out of Israel. Okay. And he spake, and great multitudes were gathered, in verse 2, together unto him, so that he went into a ship, which speaks of the church, and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, we're ending one age, the age of the law. The age of the law couldn't be ended until there was a suitable sacrifice for sin. Now, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer can do what? Never take away sin. So, as Jesus is teaching the Jews, he's giving them a prophetic view of what things are going to be. Yeah. And Israel, as a nation, is no longer going to be the custodian of the truth. But our Lord's public ministry was to Jews under the law. And so when he says, be ye perfect, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, that's what the law demands. Now, what was the law for? It was a schoolmaster, an attendant slave that was in the household of kings and so forth, who were responsible for the education of the children. That would be one a form of servitude. And so what? The law was a schoolmaster or a teacher to the nation of Israel. But because they were, deceived by the lie of the devil and thought they could be like God by their conduct, Then they put all the emphasis upon the law, and when it was read to them or spoken to them by God, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. A natural response from an honest heart should have been, all that the Lord has spoken is impossible for us to do. But man doesn't like to think in terms of his sin nature. Man likes to think, I'm a pretty good guy, But there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? Not even one. So whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, you can't stand before God on the basis of law. That's why Christ had to come. And he was teaching them things that we carry over into the church age, but they were spoken to Jews. And so he says, behold, the sower went forth to sow, latter part of verse 3, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. So let's think about, you've got a plot of ground for a garden, farming back in those days was done mostly by hand, So lots of times what they raised was for personal use and a little more that they could sell to other people. Okay. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The waysides are the hard paths where you walk past the garden. Okay. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, the birds of the air are spoken of as the emissaries of Satan. And when the ground falls, or the seed falls on ground too hard to penetrate, then the devil wants to catch it away quickly before it has a chance to get covered up with a little dirt, a little rain comes along, and germinate. So the devil's in the business of snatching away the truth as quickly as he can from people whose heart, is a little harder, okay? And then he said, some fell upon stony places. This was ground where you have earth and you have some stones and so forth, so that it's going to be well-drained soil. And it's possible for plants to grow in it. But notice what it says, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. So these sprout up quickly. Now, let me say this. When we're dealing with these parables, everywhere that we have a plant, we have life. And if we have life, we have what kind of life? Eternal life. That's what we're talking about. So I'm sure that you know people that have made professions of faith. They attended services for a little while, and then little by little, they just fell away and quit attending. Now, I've told the story about my dad when he and mom were in a church in Compton, and as Baptist churches are wont to be, they found some fault with the pastor, and half of them wanted to throw him out, half of them wanted to keep him. So Dad said, if I've got to go to church and fight, I'm not going to go. Well, at that point in time, there were, in the age in which we live, it's pretty hard to find a church where the truth is proclaimed. I mean, there's lip service to it, but the whole counsel of God is hard to find. But in those days, it was a little more common, and we see that in some of the parables that our Lord taught. Okay, so when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. So we have people that make a profession of faith, and they're genuinely saved. But one thing or another causes them to quit getting the nutrients they need. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We're to grow in what? Grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. and then some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. So, you know, you've got dandelions here and there and so forth. They wouldn't exactly be called thorns, but, you know, but we have all kinds of plants, you know, right now, after winter, on the side, I see weeds beginning to grow up, and, you know, Oscar's been doing a tremendous job for us taking care of that type of thing. But I used to, you know, as soon as I'd see a weed, I'd pull it, because I had time to do that. I didn't dare let them grow up, because I didn't have time to take care of them if I let that happen. So, and others fell on the good ground. And in the good ground, they brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and 30-fold. So we as believers in Jesus Christ are not going to all produce at the same level. You can be faithful in every respect, you know, but the, you know, it depends on where you are. The Lord called me to Eugene, Oregon. At the time that he called me here, we didn't have the state of Alaska or the state of Hawaii. They were territories of the United States. So at that point in time, the state of Washington and the state of Oregon had the lowest per capita attendance in church of any of the other 48 states. And there was a time when I tried to get out of Oregon, and God wouldn't let me go, you know. And why? Because the truth needs to go forth, either to save people or to condemn them. And whether they ever come in and hear what we have to say, the fact that this church is here condemns people of Eugene who are dead in trespasses and sin and have no interest in the gospel. Because it's here, you know. And you say, well, that doesn't seem exactly kosher. Well, it is. You know, it's the absolute truth. The testimony is here, and if you don't want to make avail yourself of it, that's between you and God, and you'll have no argument. Okay. But so we had some that fell on good ground, brought forth 30, 40, and 60-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, this is a parable. This is a natural thing that is teaching us a spiritual truth. So who has the ears to be able to hear? Well, the scripture says the natural man or the unsaved man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Right? So the testimony is there whether you receive it or not. So he goes on to say, or the disciples came to him in verse 10 and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And notice what he says. He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you, his disciples who were believers, except for Judas, you know, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. If you've ever listened to some of the interpretations that some of these radio preachers and people from other church put on the parables of our Lord, they missed the mark completely. We're not boasting ourselves when we say that. We're saying the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. That's what Jesus just has told us. Okay. And, you know, there's big money to be made in churches. You moralize people and you can have, like that fellow down in Houston, 40,000 people. You know? And I've never, ever heard him on the radio, on TV, anywhere. I've never ever heard him quote a single verse of scripture. Yeah. It's all about your life. And that's the way the world thinks. Yeah. So, You want a big crowd? You just pander to the crowd. All right. So he says in verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. So each of you, as I preach the truth of the word of God, you have a base, you trusted the Lord as your Savior, you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, you have a spiritual base to grow on. Now, you can be faithful in your attendance and grow very rapidly, or you can be caught up in a lot of things that interfere with your growth and not grow so rapidly. Yeah, it's basically, it's up to you. You can avail yourself of the truth, or you can find other things more important. So he goes on to say, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now, over in the book of Luke, in the Greek text of Luke, even that which he seemeth to have. You know, we can have people come in, and you know, we don't know whether people are genuine believers or not when we meet them for the first time. And if they come in and they fellowship with us and we get to know them, then we can know more what they personally believe. But just by, you know, by outward sign, you can't tell the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. And of course, the self-righteous churches say, oh, yes, you can, because they smoke and they drink and they spit and they chew, and you don't do those naughty things that other boys and girls do. Yeah. The world is all wrapped up in the lie of the devil. And if you want a big church, I guarantee you, you can have a big church, just pander a little bit to what man thinks naturally. Yeah. And it'll grow like wildfire. And, you know, and then what? The proof of your of the blessings of God is your growth. No, the proof of the blessings of God is whether you're preaching and teaching the truth. Yeah. And think about our Lord. He ministered to tens of thousands, you know, fed, you know, the number of men, what was it, 4,000? I can't remember the numbers right now. But with a little boy's lunch, and that wasn't counting the women and children, probably 25 or 30,000 people with a little boy's lunch. Yeah. And on another occasion, you know, an equally large number. Yeah. And where did they all go? Well, obviously, some of them were in the crowd when he was being crucified that said, crucify him, crucify him. You know? And, you know, the world can become very self-righteous. And you, basically, I don't know why this is true, but just because of the perception that people have of those of us who are in the ministry. But if you're looking at me for perfection in any sense of the word, you're not going to find it. Why? Well, the word of God tells us why. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know, the only reason I have a relationship with the Lord is because of the Lord. He brought me to a place where I could hear the word of God preached, and then he quickened the word of God to my heart so that I might believe it and be saved. And so I have eternal life, not at all because of I preach the word of God. No, he called me into the ministry. And that was a very definite call. There was no question in my mind what the Lord wanted me to do. Yeah. And I was only a year and a half old in the Lord. But he put me in a position where I had probably read the Bible through completely at least twice, maybe three times in that year and a half. Yeah. Because I was in the Air Force at the time. We had a hush-hush job, and then all of a sudden, well, Gelfelling Corporation is going to build us a trailer. So we took an old broken-down pool table and put it back together, did that, and fixed up the ping-pong table and did that. And then when those projects were done, we didn't have much to do. So I had a little pocket-sized Scofield Bible. It's got all the notes that this one has. This is pretty good size. But, you know, page numbers are the same. The print's just smaller. And I don't know whether I have that Bible anywhere anymore. But if I do, I couldn't read it. Might have to get the magnifying glass out. Print was pretty fine. But, you know, that with pulling CQ and so forth, CQ had to be at our radar detachment. 35 men and one captain detached from March Air Force Base in California. We weren't responsible to anybody at Fairchild or Fort George Wright. You know, we were an independent unit on Fort George Wright. And 35 men, one captain, a couple of, I think we had two master sergeants, and then tech sergeants, is two rockers, and a lot of staff sergeants. That's what I was. And then a bunch of, corporals and we call them sergeants, just three stripes. Yeah. But, as a staff sergeant, we were responsible for CQ. The other, they're too high up the ladder. And so at least once, twice a month, I had to spend all night at the base. You know, I was married, had children, and living off base, but I had to spend all night at the base to be charge of quarters. And you say, gosh, what'd you do? I read. What'd you read? My Bible. I'm a brand new believer, and I just took it in by copious quantities. So by the time that, and I've told this story so many times, you're probably tired of it, but by the time I entered Bible college, I'd write a paper and write something that I knew was the truth and have professors mark me down or disagree. You know, little red ink here, little red ink there. And be in the position. Many of these men had doctoral degrees. And here I am, a neophyte believer, but I had more Bible in me than they had with all of their degrees. And the Lord did, he knew that he was going to call me into the ministry. So even though I wasn't being taught by anybody, just taking in the Word of God, every now and then Mom would send me one of the papers from Calvary Baptist and Bellflower. I'd read something in that would point me in a direction. But for the most part, it was just the Spirit of God in me. And that's not boasting in any respect. That's the way it is with all of us. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And the more of the Word of God that you have in you, the more the Spirit of God can teach you. And as a pastor, I can see things that other people haven't seen, break them down. For example, that whole teaching that I've been writing about, the sin, 30 times in the book of Romans, and yet Paul only used that construction three times in every other epistle that he wrote. And so it has to be significant. It's not just sin, it's the particular sin. And the particular sin that we're dealing with is man's morality. Where did it come from? From the evil tree. It didn't come from God. What is the basis of everything that's religious in the world? The evil tree. God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be as God. What do people think? You feed them a dose of that and say, whoa, I went out of the church really feeling good about myself today. You know, Word of God has a different effect on me. Convicts me, you know. But the bottom line, the nation of Israel was like that. You know, they said, all of the Lord has spoken, we will do. But if you read the accounts in Scripture, most of the Jews that came out of Egypt died in the wilderness. You know, the children grew up, and others are undoubtedly were born during those 40 years. But and they had no more faith than their parents. There were certain ones, Joshua, Moses, Aaron, and Caleb, but there was a handful of believers, just like in every age, in every community where you have the truth, you have far more that, they may be very regular in their attendance, but they think that they have a right relationship with God by the lives that they live. And that's the devil's lie. And it's not so. So the Lord goes on to say, he answered and said unto them in verse 11, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Think about this. We are told to go into all the world and preach a message that the world can't understand. It's impossible for them to understand. They have no spiritual discernment whatsoever. But that's what we're to preach. And then what? The Spirit of God takes that word and quickens it, or makes it alive long enough for them to have enough faith to believe. And then it's what? Not to forsake the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, the more of the Word of God that we hear, the more we have the opportunity to grow. The more that we have the opportunity to grow, the more that we understand when we're reading by ourselves. And so it's a lifetime process. And I've been at it for over 65 years, and I've only scratched the surface. But the marvelous thing is that when the Lord finally says to me, come up hither, then I'll no longer have this treasure in an earthen vessel. I'll have a body that is without sin, without a sin nature. All of that will be gone. We long for that day. Paul spoke of it when he was stoned to death at Lystra. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Such an one got up to the third heaven and saw things that are not lawful to be uttered. Now, he saw things that, why not lawful? None of us would stay here if we knew what heaven was really like. But we have to stay here because faith comes by hearing. And we're commanded to do what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So you have imperfect vessels preaching, the Word of God, and people can see all of our imperfections, and they have an inclination not to believe it because of our imperfections. But faith still comes by what?
Hearing.
God's in the business of saving sinners. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So all are sinners. But there are so many that are caught up in their own self-righteousness that they, like Israel, would say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Therefore speak I to them in parables, verse 13, because they seeing see not. They have visual sight, but they're blind spiritually. And hearing, they hear not. They have perfectly good ears to hear the normal things of conversation and of this world, but the word of God falls on deaf ears. You know, they're not able to understand it unless, and this is the miracle of it all, we invite unsaved people to come here so they can hear the word of God. Well, you say, why? Because they can't understand it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God quickens that word. He makes it alive so that it produces a child of God. And then, however much of the word of God you take in with, you know, in my case, there was great rapidity in taking in copious quantities. And others, you know, it takes longer. But by the time I was in Bible college, you know, I was basically taught by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And I was asked to leave a church because I asked them why they were using leavened bread for communion. You know, it's at the time of Passover. The Jews couldn't have any leaven in their house. And the bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And leaven represents sin. But rather than sitting down with me and discussing it, you know, they like the fact that they go by the bakery on Sunday morning and get a loaf of bread that hadn't been sliced. It was still warm. Bring it to the church. And we sit there around the circle with a handful of believers. And one common cup. Have a communion every Sunday, you know, but using leavened bread. No, that bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and leaven represents sin. It cannot be a leavened loaf, you know. And then if you know anything of the history of Israel, it was at Passover. Every bit of leaven had to be removed. Okay. And then, therefore speaks I to them in parables, verse 13, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. The King James translators did a terrible job of transliterating that. You would think that you would look at the Old Testament scriptures and see what book you're talking about. But they were trying to be very very literal. So we're translating. So we're going to put equivalent Greek letters for the Hebrew letters. Yeah. And so Isaias is the way you would say it, which by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing, you shall see and not perceive. So we ask, you know, friends, relatives, different ones to come to church with us. And it gives them the opportunity to, while they can't understand spiritual truth, just as on the day of my salvation, 21 years of age, mom asked me, I'm going to church tomorrow. Would you like to go with me? That's how simple it is to invite somebody. Yeah. I said, well, I came to see you. If that's where you're going to be, that's where I'm going to be. There's no way that I knew or anticipated in any respect. Mom sent me a Bible at some point in time, and she wrote in her letters how that she'd started going to a church in Bellflower, California. And I would say to Joanne, well, that's good for mom, you know. The typical unsaved person's response. Yeah, she needs that. I don't need it, but she needs that. Yeah. And so I went, the gospel was preached, and, you know, you'd think that when they gave the invitation that somebody had lit a fire under me or something. I was out that chair and down that aisle so fast. It was incredible. How much did I know at that point in time? Or even after they took me into to the room, you know, the where they interview you when you come forward. And I didn't know much. All I knew, I'm a sinner. Yeah. And the gospel had been preached, and Christ died for sinners. That was it. Yeah. And, but then the Lord put me in a situation. And I've told the story ad infinitum, ad nauseum, so many times, about being shipped to Eielson Air Force Base and then having time on my hand and in the bunk with my New Testament reading. I took in the Word of God as rapidly as I could, you know, and then, you know, changed bases after that, put in the situation where I had a job, but I didn't have a job. And the Lord put me in a place where I could continue taking on the Word of God. And, you know, while the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God, the author of the Scripture indwells me and indwells every believer. And you can grow by leaps and bounds by taking in the Word of God. But we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's that mean? Attendance in church is going to be less and less as we get closer and closer to the second coming of Christ. And we've witnessed that in this church. You know, we've got a pretty good crowd this morning by comparison, but sometimes there's just a handful of us. Yeah. I have no shame for that. Preach the truth. I preach the truth with you know, just two people in the audience. Well, we have a quorum where two or three are gathered together in my name. What? There am I in the midst. And over the course of my ministry, I've preached in that sort of situation. And, you know, sometimes some of the best messages the Lord has given me have come at that point in time. I'm dependent upon what the Lord lays upon my heart, and we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the Jews, they wanted to be under the law without any consideration of what the law was about. And the churches of this age, because of the lie of the devil, that the sin, you know, ye shall be like God, what? Knowing good and evil. Well, there's no evil in God. But so is knowing evil make you like God? No. I mean, God's in the broader scope of things. But there's no evil in God. There's evil in us because we still have a sin nature. And so that's why hearing the Word of God, it enables us to grow, enables us to be strengthened, enables us to go through deep waters. And sometimes we're asked to go through them. Other times, we seem to go along quite a ways before anything happens. And, but, you know, I guarantee you, in wherever you are and whatever comes your way, you'll handle it better with more of the Word of God in you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the truth of the Word of God. And we see this ministry of our Lord to the Jews who were looking for the Messiah, but they rejected it in Jesus Christ. They wanted a ruler, a king, somebody that was going to protect them against all of the other nations of the world. They didn't think they needed a Savior, and the last thing they wanted was a Savior. And yet, that's pretty much where we find the world today. The world doesn't think it needs a Savior because of the lie of the devil, man's morality. And yet, the very fact that man has that knowledge of good and evil says he needs to be saved. Just bless in a very special way now in each of our hearts and lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.